Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hello and welcome to a Tuesday live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid and all across the Sports Grid network. That includes sportsgrid.com/watch, where you can find your favorite destination to consume everything all across the grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We are live together here for the next 3 hours up until 11 a.m. Eastern time, a Tuesday that is full of football. The AP Top 25, the preseason poll ahead of the 2024 college football season is now out. Our rankings reactions in this opening hour. Another day of training camp around the National Football League with some more drama and some news and notes that you need to know. And a pretty full Monday around Major League Baseball that featured a couple of really good arms on the bump, including the National League Cy Young favorite, but his team has a day out in San Francisco. A lot to break down here, DRS, over these next 3 hours live on the Early Line.
Welcome back, Mr. Mookie Betts. So that lineup there for the Los Angeles Dodgers struck out his first plate appearance. Looked like it wasn't going to go so well, and of course it goes well. Multiple RBIs, a home run there. Away go the Dodgers in another victory. But also, you're right about this. College football ranking system today. This is finally the year that we don't have to shame it, because so many times in the past, let's just say it was 1-2 was all you got in the championship game. If you started 19th in that poll, you had to work your way all the way up. And why are you starting 19th in the first poll when nobody really knows how good that football team is? Now that we have 12 teams in there, it's much more fun to look at the top 25, and realistically, chances to make the playoffs just became a lot easier from those teams outside the top 15, top 20 teams. Love it.
A new era in college football, to say the least. The expanded 12-team college football playoff. What do the trends of yesteryear mean for this AP preseason poll and how the college football season will play out? We will let you know later on in this opening hour. But we start with some NFL news around the National Football League, and the New York Jets just can't seem to get out of their own way when it comes to off-the-field drama. Hassan Reddick, who was traded by the Eagles to Gangrene earlier this offseason because he wanted a new deal in Philly. He would not get that with the Eagles organization. Thought he would get it with the New York Jets. Is holding out of training camp because he wants that big new contract extension. Has now formally requested a trade from the Jets. But Joe Douglas, the GM of this Jets organization, responds yesterday, DRS, saying, quote, "We have informed Hassan that we will not trade him, that he is expected to be here with his teammates, and that he will continue to be fined per the CBA if he does not report." That was put out on Twitter in a fancy quote graphic. DRS, things are ugly between Hassan Reddick and the New York Jets.
Ah, the Jets, cut off your nose just to spite your face at this point. Now, look, rule number one when you're making a trade here, Ben, is right. The guy wants more money. You better not make that trade until you have that deal worked out and compensation correct. This is how you get yourself into trouble. But if you are the Jets at this point, I love the fact that they're making a stance now. Like, we're not going to trade you. We'll sit you out because we don't want to set the precedent down the line. I understand the NFL is a business, yes. But if the player is unhappy, you're unhappy with the player. I guarantee you right now, Hassan Reddick will will probably take less just to leave the Jets, and you can get the exact compensation back you lost to the Eagles to remove him from your roster. Why not just do that and look forward? Because it doesn't feel right now that this is going to be a match made in heaven. This guy hasn't even been in the building yet, and there's so much animosity. I don't see how it works out in the Jets' favor. But shout out to Jets for standing on business and making their team worse by forcing a player to come into camp who doesn't want to be in camp, wants more money, doesn't want to be there, but yet you don't want to trade him. Congratulations, Jets.
Never, ever, ever agreed to a trade unless the contract is done as well. Scary news yesterday for the Detroit Lions at practice during training camp. Jahmyr Gibbs, after a sensational rookie campaign, leaves practice early, suffering a hamstring injury. The severity we are not sure of at this time, but not good news in the Motor City.
Give me the sprained knee, give me the sprained ankle, give me the sore shoulder, just don't give me a hamstring injury on a player that needs all of that explosiveness from day number one. Athletes never understand the hamstring injury. This is really bad news for Detroit. Thank goodness it's still in the preseason. How many games will he miss? One, two, maybe all of September? We don't know the severity of the injury, but for a guy built on speed and quickness and change of pace, yeah, a hamstring injury, absolutely devastating. That's terrible news for the Lions.
A significant piece of that bet.
Progressive presents the
Tuesday here on TEL. Our focus on the NFC North. We'll talk about this a little bit later on. Major League Baseball news from a Monday slate and a massive upset yesterday in Chicago. The White Sox beat the Yankees 12-2 on the South Side. The Yankees closed with our guy, Luis, don't call him, heel on the bump as a greater than $3.5 favorite. That's -355 on the money line. And the White Sox win by double digits. The first time this year, DRS, Chicago has won a game by 10 or more runs, and it happens against the Yankees.
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday, too. Luis Gil, like if I had 16 pitchers rated on the card, he was one of the bottom pitchers here, but it sort of shouldn't have factored in because of how bad the White Sox are anyway, and a pitcher that was questionable at best on the mound for themselves. And here we go, finding ourselves a double-digit winner by the White Sox here. One of the single worst losses you're going to see in Major League Baseball. To be honest, decades maybe? Have we ever had a -350 price or so get beat by 10 runs in a game? I don't remember when that's happened. My goodness.
Yeah, I mean, a huge plus money price on Chicago. Grady Sizemore gets his first victory as the interim manager of the White Sox. A pitcher's duel yesterday in San Francisco between the National League Cy Young favorite, Atlanta's Chris Sale, the reigning NL Cy Young winner, San Francisco's Blake Snell. Both electric on the mound yesterday. Shut out baseball into extra innings. Travis d'Arnaud, an RBI sac fly for the Braves in the top of the 10th, wins it. But Sale, 7 innings of shutout work, only allowing 3 hits, 12 strikeouts. Blake Snell on the other side, shutout baseball as well. Double-digit strikeouts. Atlanta, though, edges out a game they had to have. The Braves entered losing 7 of their last 8, a much-needed victory by the Bay.
7s down to 6.5s in that game. It was right. There were 2 dominant pitchers in a great pitcher's ballpark here, and we got even more than we bargained for. I actually thought the right side of this was the Giants in this equation, but I guess if you're going to lose a game and your pitcher goes absolutely berserk over 6 1/3 innings here, double-digit Ks, only to be outdone by the guy on the opposite side and one run in extra innings, that's an under game to say the least. An awesome pitching performance, and also what that means to the Cy Young Award markets here at the FanDuel Sportsbook for the National League, big time in the favor of Sale.
We will talk about it. He entered yesterday as a -125 favorite. Where has the market moved? A return yesterday for the Dodgers. Mookie Betts making his return to the lineup for the first time since the middle of June, nearly 2 months in Milwaukee. A 2-run home run in the 3rd inning. Another RBI to boot late on. And the Dodgers pick up a big victory over Milwaukee, 5-2. Clayton Kershaw really good. Shohei Ohtani, a 2-run homer as well. Picture perfect for L.A.
We know Betts is good. We know, obviously, Shohei Ohtani is good. You take a look at Kershaw. That's the guy I'm looking forward to here, having solid starts every 5th day to keep the Dodgers in the ballgame. He did that against a quality opponent. Great win for the Dodgers. Great sign that Mookie Betts is back and already launching bombs.
He was batting in the 2-hole, led off when he was healthy earlier in the year, but Shohei been so good leading off, Dave Roberts keeping him there. Jarren Duran of the Boston Red Sox suspended for multiple games after a live mic on the Nesson broadcast of Boston's game on Sunday caught Jarren Duran ushering a homophobic slur to a fan at Fenway.
Yeah, just be nice to people. It's pretty simple there. If you're angry, yell at yourself. Don't be yelling at anybody else, any fans, and certainly in a pro atmosphere where everybody is mic'd up. Can't be that dumb. Two-game suspension warranted.
Filling in yesterday for Jarren Duran in Boston, Rob Refsnyder in left field at the game-winning RBI for Boston in extra innings. Georgia tops the preseason AP top 25 for a second consecutive year. There will be plenty of rankings reactions later on in this opening hour. In fact, a final half hour dedicated to college football. Donnie, break out the preview magazine. More MLB recaps up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What a game it was out in San Francisco last night. A part of an MLB slate on a Monday that featured many familiar names and arms on the bump. It was a duel we expected to be good. It was even better than advertised, the RS, between Chris Sale and the Braves and Blake Snell and the Giants on the other side. Atlanta gets a victory in 10 innings. Travis d'Arnaud and RBI sac fly in extras. The only run scored in the game. It was scoreless in regulation. Atlanta gets a desperately needed win outright as a slight underdog in San Francisco. But the story, DRS, the starting pitching output of both Chris Sale and Blake Snell. 7 innings of work for Sale, 0 earned runs given up, only 3 hits in shutout baseball, 12 strikeouts. He's even stronger now as a National League Cy Young favorite at minus 140. The reigning NL Cy Young winner, Blake Snell, 6 1/3, 11 strikeouts, 0 earned runs given up as well, only 2 hits registered by Atlanta. The Braves get a victory at the end, but what a pitching duel it was by the Bay.
No, it certainly was. You take a look at only 7 total hits in this entire game through 10 innings, which is remarkable to say the least. And you take a look at the two pitchers, 7 innings pitched, 12 Ks, 6 1/3 innings pitched, 11 strikeouts. They were both phenomenal. By the way, the run that Blake Snell is on right now is absolutely incredible, which is why I liked him at that plus 100 price, saying, okay, I don't think the Atlanta Braves are going to have all that much offense. If you would have told me the Braves are going to score one run, it might have been the game of the millennium. Like, of course, San Francisco is going to be able to get at least 2 runs in this game to win this thing. They weren't able to do so. And that's why Chris Sale is keeping this Atlanta Braves team in wraps. If you take a look at the last game that they had in Colorado, what a devastating loss. What do you need out of your starting pitcher to be an absolute force on the mound through 7 innings just to keep your team in the game? He didn't even leave with a lead. 7 innings, but 12 Ks. Yeah. He doesn't even leave with a lead, which is incredible. So take a look at that. Atlanta Braves needed that victory, stay in that wild card race. The Giants take a step back because these two teams jockeying for pretty much the same position out there in the wild card. Great win by the Atlanta Braves.
Huge win for Atlanta. The Braves had dropped 7 of their last 8 games, including that weekend set against the Rockies, including the series finale on Sunday when Atlanta led 8-2 entering the bottom of the 8th, and Colorado scored 7 runs in the home half of that frame. In fact, Atlanta entered yesterday, DRS, just 5 games above 500. It was the lowest above 500 the Braves have been over a span of the weekend since the middle of June in nearly 2 months. So the Braves need to turn it on if they are going to register a spot in the National League wild card race. But let's take a moment. We'll get to Chris Sale in just a minute. Blake Snell has had one of the wildest seasons you will ever see. He is now 2-3 with an ERA that is working its way down. Entered yesterday with a 4.31 ERA. San Francisco has won 5 of his 7 starts, and yet Blake Snell is only 2-3 this year. In 5 of those 7, Snell has been scoreless, and he has only allowed 5 earned runs in total in those 7 starts. It's been an injury-riddled year for San Francisco and certainly Blake Snell. The Giants still victorious despite the loss yesterday in extras in 12 of their last 17.
Yeah, he's been. And also, let's talk about a San Francisco Giants team that had Snell at the deadline up on the market if somebody wanted to come take him for a certain price point. Nobody was able to do that. Can you imagine down the stretch a guy that's basically not giving up a run, let alone hits at this point? That would have been an impact on another baseball team, but it didn't happen. He's going to stay with the Giants. But I'm just intrigued by this because you're right. It's like, boy, what happened to Snell? Gets into camp late. Nobody's really signing to a long-term deal. Now he's absolutely filthy. Gets that two-year like player option contract, which is kind of odd. Like, oh, look at that. Maybe everybody dodged a bullet by not actually signing to a long money deal. Now you're looking at going like, what a bargain you might have. And also, how long is he going to be a San Francisco Giant at this point? He has been spectacular over the past couple starts. Yeah.
His ERA has dropped to a 3.91. Chris Sale, who had 13 wins and was leading Major League Baseball in the win component, has now not recorded a decision in his last four starts, but he has not allowed more than two earned runs in his last 11 starts dating back to the very first day of June. A wonderful return yesterday in Milwaukee, but for the road visiting team in the Dodgers. Mookie Betts makes his return for Los Angeles, his first game since way back on June 16th. It was the left wrist injury. Mookie Betts was back, and he came back in a big way. Three RBIs, a two-run home run in the third inning. Shohei Ohtani added on a two-run blast, still in the lead-off hole, and Clayton Kershaw was darn good. His best outing so far in 2024 as the Dodgers win the opener in Milwaukee 5-2.
Yeah, good win by the Dodgers. By the way, only 2-for-5 with runners in scoring position, so making the best out of some of those outcomes. But the biggest outcome is Mookie Betts back into that lineup. If you watch that first at bat, Ben, almost gets hit with an inside pitch that had to scare the daylights out of the Dodgers organization, then strikes out and basically corkscrews himself into the ground and falls down. It's like, oh, look at this. All that time off, he's really not back with it. Oh, he was back with it later in that baseball game. That's what you wanted to see. 1-2 punch like Ohtani and Betts at the top of the lineup, and they're both going yard. Boy, that's a good sign for the Dodgers here. Now 70-49. And by the way, the Milwaukee Brewers, quality ball club. Great win for the Dodgers and a great start by Kershaw.
Milwaukee still a strong lead in the National League Central. The Brew Crew entered Sunday's finale against Cincinnati on a 5-game win streak that was snapped by the Reds. Of course, they have now dropped 2 in a row. Los Angeles victories in 7 of its last 9 games. Elsewhere around MLB yesterday, the two other teams in the National League West, San Diego and Arizona, remain hot. Just a couple of victories by a single run. The Padres victorious 2-1 over Pittsburgh. The D-backs victorious over Colorado 5-4. Arizona a -310 money line favorite. Make that 16 wins in their last 19 games for the D-backs. Make that 10 wins in the last 12 games for the Padres.
Stay in hot out there in the West, man. It's going to be great to watch that final up because you might get three teams out of the NL West that do make the playoffs. But also last night, one of those things you saw that score on the graphic, the Pittsburgh Pirates, man. Sooner or later, you got to stop that bleeding right now. And they just can't get out of their own way, even in a close effort, still not getting those victories. That pressure is building in that locker room, and it's bound to burst sooner or later.
8 straight losses for the Buccos, now pretty much out of wild card contention in a jumbled race in the National League. The Pirates, in fact, have dropped to the bottom of the National League Central. More around the NL Central, more scores from Monday in Major League Baseball. Comes your way up next, live right here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Major League Baseball recaps from a Monday continue. A couple of other scores that impact the wild card race in the National League. The Reds actually winning outright as a underdog against the St. Louis Cardinals, 6-1 the final there. St. Louis just 6-7 in their last 13 games, now 2.5 games out of that third and final wild card spot occupied by the Braves. Again, it's not terrible baseball by the Redbirds, but when you have San Diego and Arizona surging, and Atlanta's already kind of built up that lead and pedigree, you need to just win to keep pace. The Cubbies were trying to do that. They had won 4 straight games entering their opener yesterday in Cleveland, and Shota Imanaga and the Cubs were a road favorite in the land. They lose 9-8 against the Guardians. Emmanuel Clase, by the way, 36 saves this year in a really tough spot in MLB. The Cubbies DRS, 51-58 on deadline day, now 2 weeks ago. In that span, even with the loss yesterday, they have won 8 of 11 games because they were a fascinating team at the deadline. Chicago not really selling, buying a little bit, acquiring Esoc Paredes from Tampa, still an eye on the future even beyond this season, but playing really well, trying to get back into the wild card race, still 4 games out at this moment.
Yeah, and it's going to be tough for them to get back in. You're going to need a lot to climb over a lot of people, and that talent needs to step up. Like, sometimes you just get bad breaks. Like, Bellinger I had included in a couple bets last night just to get at least a base hit or get a score run or have an RBI. One of the only guys in that lineup not to get a hit, RBI, or score run. Sometimes it just goes that way when you figure he's the best in the lineup. But if we do take a look at yesterday, sort of an anomaly, that red 6-1 victory over the Cardinals. I actually thought the Cardinals would have some success yesterday, and here's sometimes where things don't always work out the way you think. When I take a look at those 60-day windows with XFIP minus numbers, you know, one of the better analytical pitchers, maybe the best analytical pitcher on the card was yesterday. It was Sonny Gray. 5 innings pitched, 5 hits, 6 earned runs, 9 Ks, though, which is why they love him in analytics, but he got smoked. You know who was one of the worst analytical pitchers on the card yesterday? Andrew Abbott. 6 2/3 innings pitched, 5 hits, 1 earned run. So go figure. The best guy rocked. The worst guy, filthy dominant out there on the diamond. Sometimes it just goes that way, man. Baseball's a crazy sport.
Yeah, it really can be. Jonkenzie Noel in the game for Cleveland, by the way. 2 home runs, 4 RBIs. Now we go to an American League Central matchup between the Royals and the Twins in Minneapolis. Pablo Lopez, pretty good for Minnesota. They were a minus 162 home money line favorite. An important game, though, DRS, between these two teams, only separated by a half a game, both in the American League Central standings and in the AL wild card chase. Minnesota gets an 8-3 victory at home over KC.
Yeah, starting to feel a little bit better about the Minnesota Twins as of late. I like the look of that roster coming back into form. Larnach, Wallner, you know, Lewis, guys that you might not know before the season started have really been performing as of late. And if you're going to get quality starts out of Pablo Lopez, you acquire him in that Arise trade from the Florida Miley Marlins. This is the guy that you expected here. 11-8 now in the season, a solid performance in a team that you might be fighting for one of those wild card spots with. That's a quality win for the Minnesota Twins here when everybody's performing in that lineup. It's a pretty good lineup.
And Bobby Witt Jr. in the first inning did have a home run. In fact, Brady Singer, the starter for KC, took a 2-0 lead into the home half of the second. The Twins scored 6 runs. Willie Castro, a 3-run home run. Royce Lewis, a 2-run home run as well. The Red Sox walking it off at home yesterday. Rob Refsnyder, the game-winning RBI for Boston against a struggling team in the Rangers. The Sox snapping a 4-game losing skid. Now just 9-13 since the All-Star break, but a much-needed win. Refsnyder was in there because of Jaron Duran being suspended for 2 games for the homophobic slur uttered on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, take a look at Hamilton, 0-4, Yoshida 0-5. That's the first 2 guys in the lineup, and you still got a victory out of that with 5-4. It doesn't matter if the Rangers are slipping. Nobody cares who you're playing and who you're beating as long as you're winning baseball games. I like the Boston Red Sox over the past month. Thought it was one of the more quality lineups. If they just get the pitching here, maybe they can make it into the playoffs in one of those wild card spots. You got to start somewhere. They got the victory last night over a lowly Rangers ball club. Goodness, what happened to them?
The reigning World Series champs in Texas had a 5-game win streak on July 25th. They were just a game below 500, starting to look like they might make a run. They've lost 12 of 16 from that point. Houston can't lose at this moment. 6 straight victories for the Astros. And when Framber Valdez gets a start, the Astros have won the last 9 that Valdez has made. He has recorded a victory in 7 of those 9 starts. 6-1 yesterday on the road in the Trop against the Rays. Framber Valdez has looked sensational for Houston. They have had a ton of injuries in that starting rotation, but Valdez has been a huge bright spot this year. The AP preseason poll in college football is now out. Our reaction is next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
At the end of yesterday's show, we told you it was almost a national holiday. The release of the AP Top 25 in the preseason ahead of the 2024 college football campaign. Today, our reactions to the rankings. Let's show the poll right here, right now, to make sure that everybody can see it. A little bit tight on that screen. I'll read through the top 10. Georgia, number 1. Ohio State, number 2. Oregon, number 3. Texas, number 4. Alabama, number 5. Ole Miss, 6. Notre Dame, 7. Penn State, 8. Michigan, the reigning national champs, check in at number 9. And Florida State rounds out the top 10. We'll dive through each segment of the AP poll here in the preseason. But DRS, let's start at the very top. The Georgia Bulldogs, who won 2 consecutive national championships entering last year, but left out of the college football playoff after their first loss in 30 games to Alabama in the SEC title. Check in at preseason number 1 for a second consecutive season.
Yep, and here's what you love about this. Let's take a look at the 25 in totality now, right? Under the old pretenses of the college football playoff, which is only 4 teams, or even dating back to, let's just say, just 2 teams that make it in the old BCS era, we'd look at Georgia and say to ourselves, can you imagine a team that beats everybody and then loses in their championship game and doesn't actually get into a college football playoff? Welcome in, Georgia. You'll be right back in it, having some fun, not playing a meaningless Orange Bowl against Florida State where you smoked the doors off a Florida State team that should have gotten in under 12 teams but didn't get in. See that? It's already better. And how about this, Ben, if I would tell you? Number 2 versus number 3, Oregon, Ohio State and Oregon, 2 of the best football teams in the country. And I'd say, you know what? They're going to play each other. So one of those teams can't even get in the playoffs despite being one of the best teams in football. Hey, welcome to 2024. Yep. The loser of that game still going to make the playoffs. Isn't this already fun to begin with, Ben? Are we already winning? And we talked about 3 teams in the top 3 where you're not saying that one loss, they can't play for a national championship. How ludicrous it used to be that we used to watch that type of sport here. It's fantastic. And I told you this many times, Ben. Again, we're through 3 teams in 1 segment, and I can't wait for this season to happen because you know why? We're going to see unbelievable, meaningful football in the month of December, something we've never seen before in major college football. I love this already, man.
People argued that expansion to the college football playoff would diminish the significance of regular season games. I argue the complete opposite, because if you lose a game early in the year, your season is not done. In the 10-year history of the college football playoff that featured only 4 programs, we never saw a team with multiple losses. That's just 2. We never saw a team with multiple losses make it to the CFP. There are going to be plenty more chances in the 12-team format of the college football playoff. As you look at the top 10 for programs out of the SEC, that's Georgia, Texas, Alabama, Ole Miss, and, of course, in there, Texas as well. 4 out of the Big Ten, Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State, and Michigan, the reigning national champs. 1 independent program, that's Notre Dame, and to round out the top 10, the first ACC team in Florida State. As Georgia found out last year, DRS, it is difficult, despite the pedigree that comes with being ranked number 1 in the preseason, to win a national championship, because 18 of the last 20 teams to be ranked number 1 in the preseason AP Top 25 have failed to win the title. Only USC in 2004 and Alabama in 2017 are the exceptions to the rule. But Georgia will enter this year as the preseason national championship favorites at plus 280, along with the number 1 ranking alongside the school's name.
And also, you take that with a grain of salt, right? Because when the AP poll comes out, it doesn't start in week number 7 and say, like, hey, look at that. 6 out of the last 7 teams that were number 1 in the AP poll won the championship. Why? Because by week 6 or 7, you pretty much know who's the best football team in the country trending in that direction. Week number 1, nobody's played yet. We don't even get to watch preseason games like in the NFL of who is what. You basically turn on your TV, see who's going to be best. That's why those shakeups happen, because technically Georgia, who we think is going to be great, we don't know. Maybe it's number 8 Penn State that's actually the best team in the country, but they're starting 8th here with the chance to legitimately win a national championship. That's what I think is most fun. And also, in the past, I talked about it to open the show. It was really unfair where the poll would come out and you'd say, again, Georgia and Ohio State, hey, if you don't lose, you're going to be the best team in the country and play for a championship, both of you. But if you take a look at Kansas State at 18, who starts at 18, runs the table, gets to number 3 unbeaten, they get penalized because they started 18th. Meanwhile, they're not the 18th ranked team in the country when it's it's all said and done. Mm-hmm. This is why it's so great that football expands, because now you can actually have fun with the poll and say, okay, we can move up here. This is good. As long as you're in the top 12, you have a chance to win a championship. When teams, again, USC is 23rd in the country. They run the table. Back in the day, they don't make the championship because there's a chance that they're not going to be able to climb enough spots to get over Ohio State and Georgia. And quite frankly, let's just say Georgia lost their first game, dropped to 10. USC won their first game. They move up to 15. As long as Georgia continues to win, they'll still be over USC at that point, even if they run the table. That's how crazy it is in the sport. Thank goodness we now have that playoff to throw those nonsense out the window.
Yeah, that's kind of true, at least in the first few years of the college football playoff format of four teams. Michigan was the first unranked team way back in 2021 to be unranked in the preseason to reach the college football playoff. TCU followed suit the following year, making it all the way to the national championship game. But to Donnie's point, when you look at the top of this poll, pay attention to the top seven: Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, Texas, Alabama, Ole Miss, and Notre Dame. Based on the last 20 years of a national championship sample size, 18 of the 20 national title winners began the year ranked inside the top seven. Only Florida State and Jameis Winston in 2013, who started the year 11th. Cam Newton and Auburn in 2010, who started the year ranked 22nd in the country, are the exceptions to that rule. And to Donnie's point, the AP Top 25, although in the preseason, and although we get the college football playoff rankings through the eyes of the selection committee come November, does have a very important weight on a college football season. It sets the standard for what you are expected to do. You are ranked. Thus, a ranked versus ranked matchup carries more significance and magnitude than playing an unranked side. These rankings do have a direct impact to where you will be throughout a college football season. Let's look through the rest of the poll as we continue to give you some trends here. After number 10, let's go back to it so everybody can see, please, here on this screen. Missouri at 11. Utah, the first Big 12 team to check in the top 25, at number 12. LSU 13. Clemson 14. Tennessee 15. Oklahoma 16. Oklahoma State 17. Kansas State 18. Miami, Donnie's Hurricanes, at 19, and Texas A&M at 20. From the list of 11 to 20, DRS, what catches your attention?
Well, of course, it's going to be Miami for me, because we don't play great football in Miami anymore. But the fact that you have 12 teams that get in, there's a legitimate thought process that, yeah, Miami can play themselves into a playoff win. For the past 15 years, it felt like they had zero chance whatsoever, which, again, brings more fan bases into the tent and more excitement. Can you look? The one thing that we know about the Miami Hurricanes, when there's a big game in town, Hard Rock is the place to be. If they're hosting a playoff game at Hard Rock in December, that means football's back in Miami and it's a big showplace here. That's what you get excited for. But again, it's the same teams that we take a look at on a year-to-year basis, and rightfully so. Do you remember when the NIL era opened up? Like, hey, if you have fan bases that are willing to pay up, this is really going to shake up college football. Look at that top 20. What shakeups in college football we actually having, because kids are now getting paid now. Hey, look, Alabama, even the playing field, they even lose Nick Saban. They're still top five and absolutely doing damage on the recruiting trail. So the old guys are still going to be up there in the top of the race here, and I love that. No, look, trust me. Oh, we like new teams in it. You don't like Liberty in the top 25. Nobody wants to see Liberty in the college football playoff. We want to see the old heads, the blue bloods, rocking this party, and that's what we're going to get.
It's just incorrect, first and foremost. And Liberty, although not ranked in the AP top 25 in the preseason, has a great opportunity now with the new format of the college football playoff. I thought you would have read that in your preseason magazine. Alabama, in fact, ranks outside of the top four in the AP preseason poll for the first time since 2009, a long time ago, despite the Crimson Tide checking in at fifth in the country. Plenty more around the AP Top 25 up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Some more rankings reactions around the AP Top 25. The preseason poll is now out in front of a 2024 college football campaign. Let's list off the final five teams that we did not mention at the bottom of the poll with some more trends you need to pay attention to. Donnie asked for some newcomers because the old heads are all there. How about Arizona being ranked in the top 25 in the preseason for the first time since 2015? Kansas ranked in the preseason AP poll for the first time since 2009. USC number 23, NC State 24th, and Iowa rounds out the preseason AP top 25 at number 25 for the second consecutive year. All right, now to some of the trends that you need to know. Donnie, we talked about the top seven being the teams to pay attention to in the national championship race. How about just correlating the odds to the top 10? National championship odds on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Georgia is the favorite at plus 280. Georgia ranks number one. Ohio State number two, second best price to win a title. Oregon number three, third best price to win a title. Texas number four, fourth best number to win a national championship. Alabama and Ole Miss, 5 and 6, 14-1, 14-1 in both spots. LSU really is the only changeup from the AP top 10 to what we see here on the national title list. 18-1 on the Bayou Bengals. That right there tied for the seventh best number alongside Notre Dame. But LSU, the only team listed here in the top 10 of the national championship prices that ranks outside of the top 10 in the AP preseason poll. LSU checks in at number 13 in the country.
It's kind of interesting to see because with the changes of the actual conferences, right? It's like, hey, Georgia and Ohio State, fantastic. SEC and the Big Ten. But then you see Oregon. Hey, look at that. The Pac-12's involved. Only to realize that Ohio State 2, Oregon 3, they're now two Big Ten teams. Hey, look, Texas is going to represent the Big 12 as number 4. No, they're going to represent the SEC, so 1 and 4. Alabama, Ole Miss, LSU, SEC. So some of these top dominant teams here. And this is what you like, too, though, because if you are a team that's looking to go into a power conference, this is what I always joked about. Like, why would you want to fight tooth and nail to get to the SEC? I understand the payday at the end of the season, but you can also have big paydays for your university if you have a great football team that continuously just makes the playoffs. You get more advertising revenue, a bigger national stage. So when you say to yourself, well, why in the heck would Oregon want to go to the Big Ten and now have to play better football teams? Well, now there's 12 teams in there and there's more money and a legitimate chance to make it into the final numbers. It's the same thing we talk about Oklahoma. Just stay in the Big 12 at this point. Why would you want to go anywhere at this point? Well, the changes that are made from these other conferences, you can make money now. It didn't make sense to me. Top two, top four, get in. Stay in the easiest conference you can possibly be with a legitimate chance to make it in. So at least now we're seeing these teams head into the big conferences and saying, okay, we can probably afford two losses now as opposed to zero and still have a chance to play for the championship, which is all you can ask for. That's what I like to see, but it still is interesting to see that top five and be like, oh, look at the old conferences they used to be in, only realizing now we're more condensed into the same conferences.
Four out of the SEC in the top 10, four out of the Big Ten, the independent program that is Notre Dame in ACC, Florida State, rounding out the top 10. You can see how heavily skewed it is by the numbers. Of course, conference realignment done for only one reason. That's the economic engine that is TV revenue in college football. Oregon was making just over $30 million, if that, in the Pac-12. They are set to make more than $70 million based on TV revenue now in the Big Ten. Here is the top 25 by the numbers. The SEC has nine teams, by far the most. Texas A&M rounds out the list from the SEC. They check in at number 20. So all nine schools out of the Southeastern Conference in the top 20. A&M, though, has now been ranked in the preseason top 25 for the last six seasons in a row. Four of the previous 5 years under Jimbo Fisher, they ended the year unranked. Now it's Mike Elko at the helm in College Station. The Big Ten has six teams. That includes USC and Iowa, rounding out the top 25 at 23 and 25. And, Donnie, here's one that really stands out to me. Despite not having a team ranked inside the top 12, or inside the top 10, excuse me, Utah at number 12 leads off the Big 12, and they have five programs there. It speaks a little bit to the depth in the quality of the Big 12 conference, which will be a fascinating conference championship race this year. Oklahoma State, Kansas State, Arizona, and Kansas, those other four teams, along with Utah, who leads the conference in the rankings.
Yeah, when you see a couple of those top teams leave, other teams have to fill in here and then claim their stake. So, yes, now we're a top 10, top 15 program. Deservedly so. We'll see it play out in the football field. But now you can see that path a little bit clearer to a Big 12 title, a little bit more parity, and also more money at the end of that rainbow because more teams have a legitimate chance now to make that college football playoff and get a piece of that pie for the conference. So it's wins all the way around. Nothing was better than expansion here, getting to 12 teams. It's just a shame that it took so long to get here. College football is going to be a much better sport because many teams are in it. And I'll just leave you with this on that end of it. Like, imagine in the NFL, Ben, Thursday night football, banner ceremony in Kansas City, the Baltimore Ravens come to town. On banner night, game number one, Baltimore wins. Why even watch Kansas City Chiefs football the rest of the season? Because they can't play in the Super Bowl. How crazy that would be. That was us for so long in college football. Now we're going to get that professional feel where your fan base can cheer along all season long with a legitimate chance to make it into the playoffs. That's all you can ask for. That's all you can ask for.
Absolutely so. Michigan, Texas, week number two, a marquee matchup between two top 10 teams in the Big House. The loser of that game in previous seasons had no wiggle room the rest of the year. Yep. Could they go on a run to a conference championship? For sure. But now the wiggle room is there, which adds significance to games throughout the entirety of the regular season, not just a spotlight in one place. Let's look at the conference odds. We will continue to do so on the other side of the break. Clemson checks in at 14th in the country. They have only won one of the last three ACC championships after a span of winning six in a row up until the 2021 season. And despite Dabo Swinney and Clemson losing four conference games a year ago, they still check in at number 14. They have been ranked in the preseason AP poll for the last 11 consecutive seasons. They have finished the previous 10 years also ranked, despite the disaster that is happening in Clemson, South Carolina. Second best price, but Florida State remains the favorite. Plenty more around the conference odds up next and what it means for the college football playoff here on the Early Line.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The preseason AP poll is out, and it's a new era in college football in 2024. No longer the Power 5 as we say goodbye to the Pac-12. It's a Power 4 atop college football. In the ACC, Florida State a 3-1 favorite to win a conference title. Clemson, second best price. Both teams ranked inside the top 15. FSU 10, Clemson at number 14 nationally. The two top teams you see out of the Big Ten ranked second and third. Ohio State ranked in the top 5 for the 8th consecutive preseason poll. At number 2, 4 of those 8 years. Oregon, its first year in the Big Ten, checks in at number 3 in the AP poll. Utah, the highest-ranked Big 12 team, at number 12 in the country. K-State inside the top 20 as well. The Utes, the favorites, plus 320. K-State at 4-1. Georgia, the number 1 team in the country, the favorite to win the SEC at a plus 170 number. Texas, less than $2 behind. The Longhorns, number 4 nationally, second-best price to win the Southeastern Conference Championship.
Let me ask you this question, too, because, again, just reading up on teams entering into the season, talking about the top 25, who can actually win the conferences. But so many times in the past, like, you looked at each division per the conference itself. Yeah. Can you update the people, Ben, on the conferences themselves? Because it's not like in the past, I think, in a lot of these where you win the East or win the West, the legends and the leaders, whatever it was in the Big Ten. How does that actually work now? Is it just the top two teams in some of these conferences playing the championship? Mm-hmm. And what happens if they don't play each other at that point where it's like, well, what are the tiebreakers almost? It's crazy.
At the power conference level, there are no longer divisions in any of the leagues. So it's the two best win percentages in conference action. They will play for a conference championship and try to earn one of those automatic bids to the college football playoff. Of course, in the new 12-team era, 5 automatic berths for the 5 highest-ranked conference champs based on the preseason poll and what we know out of the College Football Playoff Selection Committee. The 4 power conference champions more than likely will have a seat at the table, being the 4 highest-ranked conference champs, which leaves room for the highest-ranked group of 5 champion, like a Liberty out of Conference USA, potentially a team out of the AAC like Memphis. Boise State, the champions of the Mountain West. They were receiving votes in the preseason AP top 25. So that's the format now, DRS, on a conference to conference situation. Divisions are gone, at least at the power level.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it does come down the stretch. Usually the cream does rise to the top, but again, with the expanded playoff, it sort of lessens that impact here. It's like, hey, look, we got a raw deal. Yeah. We can't win the Big Ten championship outright, but how about this? We're slotted in the 10th overall seed now in the College Football Playoff, so you do get some of those bonuses, because you can imagine that too, an undefeated team in the Big Ten who doesn't get to play for the championship, therefore is left out of the national championship picture. How crazy that would be. So things are working their way into form here, just again, because we have the expanded playoff. Even if you don't get that, hey, we want to win the Big Ten first, the ultimate prize is the national championship, and you can still go there even if you have a great season to get phased out of that title game.
Multiple routes now, because although the selection committee of the CFP never really stuck to a certain criteria, it was pretty easy to see based on sample size prior to last year in the 4-team history of the College Football Playoff. If you were a 1-loss Power 5 conference champion, you were more than likely going to make it to the College Football Playoff. Now there are so many different avenues with the 7 at-large bids as well. So not only what it will mean from a team and program perspective, but the individual races for a Heisman Trophy. There was a pedigree based on what we knew in the 10-year history of the 4-team format of the College Football Playoff. Lead your team to a conference championship or a CFP appearance. Now there's so many more opportunities to be a part of the College Football Playoff field. Oregon's Dylan Gabriel, who last year was at Oklahoma, enters this year as the Heisman Trophy favorite. DRS, it's the first time in the last 3 years of college football that we do not have a returning Heisman Trophy winner. Bryce Young 2 years ago, Caleb Williams a season ago.
Yeah, look at the parity out there, right? 7-1, plus 750, 10-1, 14-1, 14-1, 14-1, 14-1. How about that? So you should have a pretty exciting finish. And also, again, usually it's the best team and the best player. You lose a game early, maybe you don't factor so well into the Heisman. You can't have that. Like the end of the season, when you're having at the Downtown Athletic Club, these teams are going to be in the playoffs. You still are going to have those big game environments that you can play on a week-to-week basis, which basically you can get your Heisman moment multiple times, Ben, in a single season.
Yep. DRS, from the odds perspective in college football, it's always about a path. You can really lay out a path and correlate odds to it. Now there seems to be plenty more pathways with all the changes and the adaptations we have to make this year in college football. Now we'll talk about the NFL when Hour 2 starts next.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.